Coming up next here on KSEO KOMY, it's hour number one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSEO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Why do we never get an answer?
Good afternoon, everyone. Give me immortality or give me death.
Whose mortality do you want?
Sound familiar? Let's talk about it after the next thing here.
All right. We're here. You're there. Stay tuned. Here we come. The futures.
Yeah, welcome to another week of the crazy future. The thing is that all this stuff is real, you know, most of it anyway.
Yeah, and there's no predicting it.
Yeah.
Like, not who, really. You can only see what's here now.
I look at the stories this way, I just can't believe it. That we haven't thought about this, some of these things before. Like New York City, right? They have a new study that they're looking at how to figure out how to manage a lot of the garbage on the street. You know, dirty cities are a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
They have a research plan to look at ants and how ants can be used as part of the cleanup of a city.
Oh, boy. I bet they pretty much cemented over every anthill for dozens of miles.
Well, they said they could be like tiny little cleanup crews, and they can help starve out populations for larger pests that carry disease.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Like they would compete with the rats and the mice.
Ants eat the same things as rats and mice?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I would have thought they ate smaller things
they
than
can.
Rats and
They're more versatile.
Uh-huh.
I think they're more omnivores even.
Uh-huh.
I'm not an expert in entomology.
Right.
I think you could get several different colonies of compatible ants that could do the job for several different types of
I'll tell you, as a sunbather, that particular solution would really give me the chills.
Well, I think the ants could only come out at night maybe so they don't disturb us.
How are you going to create it so they only come out at night? Ants sleep at night.
Diurnal.
They come out during the day.
Well, there are ways. You know, it comes down to once we play with DNA, which we're starting to do,
sorts
of things all become possible relatively quickly.
You don't need
quickly.
To play with DNA. I mean, maybe what you could do is just like throw the lights on in the anthill and make it hard for them to sleep at night.
It'd be best to just use the
DNA
species that are
DNA is such
here.
A weird route to go to modify behavior. Yeah. There are much better ways.
Well, like what?
Understanding nature. Like understanding how ants
this
like
is
to
understanding
behave.
Nature. These ideas came from wanting to create more of a connection with nature. And why shouldn't they be our allies?
But why do you want to make them work at night when they like to work during the day? I mean, that is such a human thing look at nature and then say, hey, why don't you do it my way?
It's our nature.
Silly.
Everybody wants it their way.
Okay, well, if this is your plan for having ants help clean up the city, I don't think it's going to be very successful.
No, you're only seeing part of the puzzle here. Come on, help me out here, audience. Don't you see this as a valid concept?
Ants.
Yeah, playing with the, we consider, even mice, I think, ultimately. They're all trainable. They're all very smart. I studied human experimental psychology at a pretty decent university, and we learned how smart they are and how similar they are biologically, like the rodents especially, and how they're a boon to medical research.
Well, I do think you're right about that. And I think humans have lost their relationship with animals because they've stopped understanding how smart they are and they've put all their energy into incarcerating them. Like the more you jail animals, the less smart they can be.
Yeah.
Whereas if you could really understand how to harness their intelligence in a way that
harness,
is a
you
win-win.
See, that's another loaded word. Harness, that's again a human term of turning them into our servants.
Well, you're right, it is. We need a better word. Capitalize? Benefit from
righteous
their intelligence?
Righteous relationship with the animals?
Let's have a righteous relationship with the animals. That sounds good. I like where you're going with this, Dr. Feature. Let's keep the animals on our list of priorities instead of just,
it's something
eating them, seeing them as something to eat or something to control. Like, they should have a life. And we should enjoy that life with them.
Well, I think most people know this.
It shouldn't be a big struggle.
Most people know this in terms of their cats and dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
so when you have a significant relationship with an animal, you know that it wants to please you. But the problem is people don't want to have significant relationships with ants or rats or mice.
No, those things have an icky vibe to them. We've taught from an early age that insects and bugs are icky, right? So we don't have
Well, I remember as a kid not thinking bugs were icky.
I know, but you were a geek girl. Bugs. You know,
I loved like the little roly-polies that you could find in the garden, or just the fascination with watching a worm and how it moved. And I think that the natural fascination that kids have with all life is something that we kind of educate out of them. It's really important to recognize our capacity to do that and kind of course correct so that we put natural love.
Yeah. I would say that's one of the dangers with all our high-tech stuff is that we get too obsessed with the screen, addicted to the screens, and not enough to what's actually going on in our environment.
Yeah.
Beautiful ocean here in Santa Cruz, the redwood forests, the smell of the moisture in the air right now.
Yeah, and as much as seeking knowledge through the screen is a very satisfying pursuit, mm-hmm. it is not one that involves your whole system. It is not one that involves your emotional weather. It is not one that engages your muscles. It really prioritizes the gray matter in your head while ignoring the peach flesh on your bones. So give it some equal time. You'll have a much better life.
Yeah. Okay. I'm all for our connection with nature is such a vast topic. And I think everyone's probably got different ways in which they do connect with nature. It'd be great to hear some of them.
Yeah. All right. Hey, I see somebody's ready to talk. Just remind everybody before we go to the break. All right. Well, let's say hi real quick and then we'll
go. Hi, John. Welcome to the show. And also, we got a guest on the line at the same time here.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And we're kind of waiting for our guest to be greeted by our greeter, but then we'll... So just hang on. We're going to go to a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk to some of the folks out there in Radioland here in the KSEO studios. This is the Dr. Future Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Is it true we have Billy Sunshine on?
It's true.
Hey, all right, Billy, long time.
Hey, well, first of all, let's wish you, the futures, and everybody else seasoned greetings. And by that, I want to have you have really good food during this holiday
good.
Season.
That's better than wishing us pepper sprayed.
Yeah, and that's
the only time I ever sent out a holiday card, because we don't do that.
Yeah.
We actually sent out of our recipes that we like best, and we called it Seasoned Greetings. Great title, huh?
It's fantastic. That could be a nice poem.
Yeah, what recipe? Yeah. Name one of your recipes for the Seasoned Greetings.
Well, there's my Nana's sweet and sour meatballs, brisket.
Your Nana had sweet and sour meatballs?
Meatballs, yeah, yeah. That's really a Passover dish for us, actually.
Oh, I see. Got it.
So, a couple things. Oh, and I loved the space movie. What was it? Interstellar.
Oh, Interstellar. Yeah. That was very interdimensional.
What'd you think?
Yes. It was just an alternate theme on a book I've been writing for 30 years, which I call 2020 Vision, which is, campus city, and come to find there's a starship being built, but it's being built by the same people that polluted the Earth and made it lousy, so we... The hippies, the rock and rollers, the first president of the United States, a former singer, let's say Grace Slick, we hijacked Starship. Yeah.
That sounds good. Yeah. Let's
and
take
where do
the
you
Starship
take it,
to our paradise.
Yeah. Well, where do you take the entire solar system with you or what?
The point is we can't take everybody, and that's sort of the thing. It's like, how do they recruit? Who gets to go? Who doesn't get to go? All that fun stuff.
Oh.
So the first movie is just finding out that the Earth's no good and hijacking the Starship. And then we move to a television series to talk about the trip and what we find.
Oh, because it's infinite.
Anyway.
What's out there, right? Yeah, that's good. That's a good way to get
it. I called to talk about this animal thing because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, before there were... You see, we're going to end up as just pure brain if we're not careful. It used to be, before we had sensors, that we needed animals to tell us when was spring coming, what time it was, how cold or warm it was going to be, the weather, you name it. It was the animals that acted as our sensors.
They were our biosensors, in a sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But now, we don't need them for that. We're just staring at screens, as you point out, and now we don't value animals the way we should.
Yeah.
And we're being mean and not taking care of them, and that's really our most important job is to take this thing, this planet, that's, as far as we know, for the moment, the best place in the universe.
For our kind, anyway.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we have to realize we're already on the spaceship, so let's make the spaceship work better.
No, well...
if you fly by, you saw that blue marble,
yeah.
You would say, let's stop there, that's a resort.
Yeah, it is for us, for sure. But, you know, methane, they might be more attracted to, like, Jupiter, you know? I mean, it depends. I mean, it's all beautiful, but I see your point.
It's all beautiful.
Yeah, I see your point.
But
it's,
the animals, the life of this planet, it's just teeming with life, but we don't kill in the process. And that's, for now, the most special thing going, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, the whole idea of killing animals for food is a big issue, especially here in Santa Cruz. We have a conscience about these things.
I'm all right with that.
Huh?
I'm all right with killing animals for food.
Well, yeah, but we're probably eating too much of it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, it's killing me.
Factory farming. Well, I've got the solution for all of this.
You do?
I do.
I've talked about it before.
If you want a steak, you print one with your new 3D printer.
Right.
There you go. So biomimetics. Instead of raising a cow and eating a cow, what you learn is how to print out cow cells into the ideal food that has been made with no suffering.
Yeah, and then you can try different kinds of steak from whatever animal you want. Zebra, if you like. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can grow in a vat a particular protein that you design, and you can do it little or big.
Yeah. I call this the carnivore's dilemma.
Yeah, vat
like
growing.
If you like meat,
the
are
Russians
you
are big
eat
into that.
Printed meat? That's the carnivore's dilemma.
One thing you do have to accept is that eating animals is the most natural thing on the planet. We all do it.
This is predator planet.
Evolution depends on sustaining your life.
It's natural, but to treat the food badly before we eat it, that's unnecessary, and that's all about capitalism, and we really do, you know, why would we assume that, like any software, you know, you improve it? Why would we assume that the first time we discovered capitalism, that that was the best form of it? It's time for capitalism 2.0.
Yeah, let's redefine it. I know Bruce Damer wants to come on and talk about the Constitutional Assemblies.
America is broken, so I don't have any kids, so the hell with you all. if you wanted to fix it, you need to get to it, because the Congress doesn't work. It's as foul an organization as I've ever seen.
Well,
nobody there votes for the country. They only vote to keep their seats.
Hey, what about today? Talking about how broken is the country, our city council right now is voting to accept $250,000 from Homeland Security to get themselves a tank.
They're calling it a rescue vehicle,
but it's a tank. Well, I saw a picture of it. It looks like a Hummer.
And those things are just for, like, what, you know, attacking hippies when they demonstrate? What is it brought up?
Yes, yeah. If you read the description, it's for rescuing cops in the middle of riot control, because I guess they're expecting to have a lot of riots when they try and clamp down on people who don't want to be clamped down on.
Oh, I know what it is. It's for that pot day, to get those kids when they get together and try to smoke in that big field that they do every 420.
Yeah, right.
2016, that's what I hear, is when that goes national. For California, you know, where actually there is an approach towards making pot legal nationally in 2016.
Yeah, we're kind of expecting California to go legal in 2016.
That might help reverse all this.
How are we going to get, you know, I used to try to be a Democrat. It just doesn't work. They're just not real liberals.
Yeah.
They don't like to party anymore. There's no party in the Democratic Party.
No, there's nobody for us at all. The Greens are as close as it gets. Can we make the Greens into a powerful party, or do we walk away from politics? What do we do?
I think a lot of our species figured out that having lots of parties involved instead of just two seems like a good idea. It seems to be working for some.
Bill Clinton partied.
I'm a big believer that the more personal sovereignty you have, the more you take care of yourself and your immediate circle of people you care about, the less it matters to you what's going on the upper echelons of power, because they're out of reach. And if you're not asking for your help, then they're kind of ignoring you too.
I love that. The more civilized we get, and the more modern and futuristic we become, the more able we are, in fact, to become independent again.
Yeah.
Well, the way I look at it, also is that we're going towards humans 2.0, so we need government 2.0 at least.
Absolutely.
You know, so how does the upgrade happen?
I think that's a revolution. I think that, you know,
Billy, as soon as you start saying that violence is the solution, you totally lose everything valuable about what you have. So let's say it's...
You're right. You can't let...
We need evolution. It can be fast. Better. It can be to music, but it's, you know...
That's right. Think of the song Wooden Ships and go from there.
Okay. Yeah. Sing a verse. What verse are you thinking of?
Wooden Ships on the water. It's You Don't Need Us. We Are Leaving. You know, they, hey, can I have some of your purple berries? I've been eating it for 6 or 7 weeks now. I haven't got sick once. The radiation poisoning, you see, I can tell by your cloak, my friend, you're from the other side. But what difference does that make? Nobody won. Who won the war?
Well, Elon Musk wants us to go to Mars, and he's going to create a Mars program whether any governments want it or not.
He's the first Earthling.
Yeah. But he's a South African. I really think there's a spirit that swept through South Africa when Nelson Mandela was set free from prison. And I think everybody who was growing up in that era in South Africa has this spiritual vision that perseverance and hope ultimately sets you free. So do your dream. And you see people from South Africa like Elon Musk living from their own dream. And in America, bless your heart, if you know what your dream is, you can get a lot of support for it.
The other thing that Elon Musk says, though, don't forget, is that he actually believes the computers and the machines are going to come after us.
Well, that's a lack of imagination, as far as I'm concerned.
That's like fearing your children, because if you imbue them with hate, then they're going to come after you. But if you imbue them with love, then you're going to want to be around each other.
They will only come after us if we're denying their future. If we appear to be dangerous to them and to the future, then they would have to take control. Otherwise, I think they'd let their parents run things.
Yeah, well, ambition is where you don't appreciate the value of what is currently the status quo, and you want to replace it with your own. So you have to come from a place of appreciation and loving what you got if you're going to have a holistic future where future generations aren't devaluing you.
You guys are great. You're better than I am, and I love you, and I'm going to say goodbye.
Hey, another thing. Did you see the 60 Minutes piece on Chang Chow last Sunday? It's on CBSNews.com. It's really interesting because he is like an Elon Musk of the cancer therapy world.
Oh, neat. You know, I'm amazed that we're not really getting on this health thing the way we should. We have all this. We're so rich, and we're moving slow, and we're being greedy, and it's going to be the damn millennials who benefit from the science that's available to us if we'd spend the money and get to it and stop putting our best minds into finance and money and back into medicine and making health, because the only thing that matters to you and me is health at this point.
Cannabis oil is a genuine cure for cancer, and it's being outlawed. It's a crime.
Rick Simpson.
Check it out. Yeah, we're going to have a guy on who's going to talk a little bit about the deep green in another 15 minutes.
Love you guys.
Yeah. Okay, love you too, man.
Billy.
Thanks for being here.
Great. Glad you're out there.
Glad you're calling in.
You're great, man. Okay. Yeah. So.
Isn't Billy great? I can't make somebody like that up.
No kidding.
Amazing.
No. Yeah, Billy, you are a KSCO guy. Like, I mean, that's how we know Billy, and you are the voice of the rest of the story.
And I like
here.
The way which Billy is able to think of the big picture so quickly and readily, and looking at the ins and outs of it, and definitely provides a perspective, even if it's not your own. It gives you something to bounce off of.
Yeah. Fantastic. And it's fun.
Yes, that's the other fellow.
We believe in fun around here.
A sister, then by the hand, lead her away from this foreign land, far away where we'll not laugh again. We are leaving, you don't need us.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We got a request in for some space news this week.
Space.
And certainly...
A big place. There must be something new happening there.
Well, certainly the NASA's new Orion spacecraft was big.
Oh, right. Orion, successful mission from NASA. Congratulations, gang.
It's now returned to dry land in SoCal after a test flight that ended with a plunge in the ocean, just like the old days.
just like the old days. Yeah. The new Spice program is just 20 years retro, or maybe more than that. 30 years.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. Though, if you look at it politically, it is big boys. It's Lockheed Martin involved with this. So it has a very long time plan. I don't think they're planning to go to any serious mission until 2018 with this. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take many years for doing it. I guess it's going to cost a lot of money every year that it's doing it, doing nothing, or doing this program that's going to take till 2018 before we see another flight.
Yeah, how can we make the space program something that is not just a pork project? Like, how can we really get...
How can we transcend pork projects?
Yeah, how can we get a cooperation on the part of all of the states that want their piece of that money with Elon Musk, so that you don't have the old military-industrial complex, as Howard Bloom likes to say, sucking all the air out of the room.
Yeah, Howard Bloom was our guest on last week, who is a indie space expert and author of many books.
Yeah,
and
Space Advisory Committee. He meets weekly with lots of people who are interested in the space program.
And he does point out how the NASA budget is pretty locked up by the big boys. Mm-hmm. And there's very little room for entrepreneurial, but there's a little bit. So Elon Musk has been able to get a little bit of private enterprise.
Well, he managed to get some cargo contracts with his awesome new space program, but he is not being offered the opportunity to get the human passenger contracts, because those are bigger budget items. And of course, so NASA wants all the money.
Well, NASA doesn't want, NASA gives the money out to Lockheed Martin and Grumman. And
you're right. NASA is the contractor.
Yeah.
They are hiring the
$20
billion to build the rockets and stuff. Yeah. So,
but the way the pork works is fascinating. The way that, like, for example, one fighter jet can have developers for that fighter jet in 45 states at the same time.
Right.
That's a very installed system that has been in operation for many, many years.
Yeah, and bless her heart, it's Americans, it's military people, it's people who really do value working with Congress to get resources for their states.
Yeah, and it's not so much about just space being the part, it's more military and the DOD budget stuff that does that. NASA's just bundled in with that.
NASA is kind of like the PR program for the military-industrial complex, right? Yeah. I mean, give NASA $12 billion and give the big boys the real guns.
But $20 billion is probably the cost for one fighter jet program.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, what are we using fighter jets for these days? I mean, ISIS
flying Santa around the planet.
Yeah, you could deliver supplies pretty quickly. FedEx might like that.
Well, I think that we're buying. I think that what's happening is that they're pocketing the money for building new stuff, and they're buying the old Russian rockets that are sitting in deep storage.
Well, that's what they sold NASA, the old Russian engines.
I know.
It's hilarious.
Crazy. Yeah.
Hey, Gary.
Yeah.
Our guest coming in at 3 o'clock. In any event, it's an interesting development. Orion's did its thing. It was successful as a shoot, and now we have to wait a while before we see something else interesting from them. Elon Musk is going on. I think it's interesting that the PR pointed out that NASA was now returning to space, and it was actually a Lockheed Martin contract. So they haven't been calling Elon Musk's craft as NASA. They've been calling it SpaceX.
Right.
And here, the PR people are making sure that you consider NASA and Lockheed Martin in the same sentence.
Yes.
It's very
okay, well, let's just get it straight. Around here, we really like Elon Musk because he's really smart. He is the lead in the entrepreneurial space program, and he deserves contracts because he really cares about human beings. He doesn't want them to die in space. He wants to do it both intelligently and safely. And he is going to spend a tenth of the amount of money of the old guard from the NASA days.
Yeah. Okay, a couple other things before our guest arrives. Actually, we have a call coming in at 2:45. Spray-on solar sensors are now been developed. So you can spray any surface and it will become solar sensitive.
We have been waiting for this a long time.
Yeah, you've
I
heard
thought
of this
there
concept
was
before,
paint
but it's
on
actually
solar
now practical.
Panels when we moved into our solar house, and that was 10 years ago.
These are made out of a quantum dot technology. They're much more efficient. Like if you cover the top of your car, you'll get 300 watts.
Really?
Yeah, 300 watts from just the top of your car.
Uh-huh.
You know, that could deal with all your...
Yeah, that's a serious nightlight, you know?
Right? Yeah.
What else can we do with 300 watts in the car, Al?
You could probably
rock
do
roll.
Rock and roll, right. You have a decent sound system. I mean, a 300-watt stereo would be pretty good. Probably way more than we need. Anyway.
Maybe charge even your battery. Analog. Maybe we could run an analog system in the car.
Yeah, tubes.
Okay.
I've got a very interesting link there. It's a University of Toronto project. Fascinating. Also, in the solar world, there has been some breakthroughs in Australia where they've set a new world record in efficiency for solar panels. Right now, they're about 20%. The Australians at the UNSW Australia say that they've set the world record by getting 40% of sunlight hitting a solar system into electricity, the highest efficiency ever reported.
That is really remarkable.
Double what we have now.
Yeah. Well, that should bring down the cost of solar panels even more if they can actually put that into solar panels.
Yeah.
What is their secret? How are they doubling the power?
It's a long line of achievements. They don't credit it to any one thing. It looks like they've been looking how to do this for a while. So it looks to me like it's a collection of ideas from the past. One of the big ones is the focusing of the energy onto a tower.
Uh-huh. Oh, so it's mirror technology. Yeah, so they're doing it with light and mirrors.
Yeah, it's done with light and mirrors.
Okay.
I guess it involves a little bit of the Stirling energy concept.
Uh-huh.
Stirling engines, the ability that a convex dishes can focus onto a single point and boil water.
I see.
Things
so,
like that. But that's water. What they're finding is that you can increase the efficiency for creating electricity directly without having to boil water.
Right. Okay,
right,
well,
so
that's great.
Cool.
That's a good breakthrough. That'd be nice. And hopefully it won't endanger any animals.
Yeah. Oh, this just came in. Thank you, Richard. SpaceX will try to land a rocket on floating ocean platform this week.
All right.
Right up. Off the coast of Florida, huh?
I really like the SpaceX YouTube videos when they do their mission. They put it with really great music. Like, what was it, when they did the Dragonfly...
Ring
took
of Fire.
Off and then landed again, and they played Johnny Carson's Ring of Fire.
Right.
That was great.
No,
Johnny Carson. Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
No, Johnny Carson did not do the Ring of Fire.
No, I think we got that.
As far
thanks,
as I know.
Thanks for that correction. Imagine that the rocket going up, instead of the boosters that fall off as it's getting into orbit, instead of them falling into the ocean, they land themselves. They land themselves on these floating space platforms.
Yeah.
And they're going to be testing that out
great.
This week.
Yeah, it's like the day shift. Okay, we're done boosting the rocket. Time to go home.
Yeah, they have their own engines and they land vertically like a rocket. Isn't that amazing?
It is. And if you've ever balanced a pole on your hand or something like that, that's what it looks like, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good space news.
All right. So our guest is on the line. And,
okay.
Shall we say hi, and then we have to do one more break.
Okay.
But why don't you introduce our current guest here.
Hello.
Hey, all right, good. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Now, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Now, could you tell us who you are in relation to the Emerald Cup as it's coming in?
My name is Tim Blake. I'm the founder of the Emerald Cup.
Okay.
That's our 11th year. Mm-hmm. We started out as a friendly cannabis competition, you know, kind of celebration of fall harvest, and that's gone from 23 entries to where we had over 650 flower entries this year.
650 flower entries? Really?
Yes.
And, wow.
And 893 overall entries in the topicals and edibles and concentrates. We've moved from the Emerald Triangle and up in Laytonville to the Sonoma County Fairgrounds. Last year we had 7,000 people. This year we'll have 12,000.
So it's gone from 7,000 to 12,000 in 1 year.
Yeah, well, it grew from 1,500 to 7,000 in 1 year, and now it's gone up again.
Well, you're growing faster than Burning Man.
Well, we won't be able to keep up with Burning Man, I don't think, but we're growing. You know, cannabis is probably the most popular topic and business in the country right now.
Yeah, well, we were at the Denver event and saw the breakthrough back in 420 earlier this year. But anyway, can you hold on a line for a second? We got to go to a commercial break and be right back.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Future Show. We'll be back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Tim Blake, who has helped organize an event called the Emerald Cup It's going to be happening at the Santa Rosa Fairgrounds, famous in my world from the Health and Harmony Festival. Magnificent place. Yeah,
we really love that. We've been very pleasantly surprised by moving down there. Sonoma County is a great crowd of people, and after driving by it for all those years, going back and forth to Santa Cruz and Mendocino, I've now fallen in love with Sonoma County.
I can't think of a better place for an outdoor event like this. Now, are you going to have a 215 area for those that have the medical cards?
Oh, yeah, we'll have a 215 area, quite large. We've got about 60 vendors in there. Mm-hmm. Plenty of space for people to go, but there's a lot of inside coverage. We're going to have some major buildings. We're going to have three stages for speakers and panels, and then we'll have two musical stages.
Mm.
That's nice. It's going to feel similar to the Harmony Festival then, because that's how they used to arrange themselves. And
now, when we were at the 420 event in Denver, we spoke to the normal people who felt that 2016 is going to be a big year for cannabis nationally. Would you concur from your perspective?
Yeah, I was part of the original founding group of CCPR, which is now Reform California. We're going to have all those leading activists and speakers at the cut this year. We'll have Amanda Ryman from Drug Policy Alliance and MPP with Lindsay Robinson. We are going to go legal without a doubt in 2016. It's just a matter of what the language looks like.
Mm.
Myself, as a longtime small farmer, it's very important that we don't just sell it out to the mega farms and have 500 corporate farms, that we keep 100,000 small farmers who support local communities and feed people.
Now, yeah, that's the big question. I heard that there's been criticism on California and Washington and their protection of small farmers. Has the California farmers figured out how to create legislature that makes sense to them?
Well, what happened was, because we kind of had a strange birth in California, the dispensaries have been fine all these years, but somehow nobody talks about the farmers. It's like you can have the dispensaries but no farmers, and that's not the way it works. I mean, the vineyards are the ones that control everything, not the liquor stores. In Colorado, the dispensaries pretty much control most of that, and in Washington, like with alcohol, the state pretty much owns it. Well, California has had a very large established cannabis business here for 30 or 40 years. And so when they went through and had SB 1262, which was going to enact legislation here last year for California, they came up here and started realizing that there weren't going to be 30,000 permits for the whole state. There were going to be 30,000 permits just for Mendocino and Humboldt. And they were going to have to start really addressing the fact that the largest agricultural lobbying concern in 2 years is going to be right here in California.
Wow.
And we're going to have tremendous, powerful influence on the future of cannabis.
Well, California was very strongly in evidence in Denver. I'll tell you that. A lot of the innovation seems to come from our state.
Well, if you do the math, $477 million out of Colorado, between Colorado and Washington, they don't do the business that Humboldt County does alone. and they are 1/50th the size of California's business before legalization.
Wow, 1/50th.
1/50th the size. So we dwarf them. I think all of Colorado's business would fit into a quarter of L.A.
All of Colorado's business would be a quarter of L.A. That's phenomenally. I mean, California will be huge then in the influence of the entire economy of the country itself.
Yeah, there's a gentleman named Tony Oliveria who did the governor's report for the high-speed rail, and he's now doing a report on the economic impact of cannabis, and he's projecting billions of dollars in cannabis tourism the first year and up to $10 billion in business coming into the state. So, when the people come from Europe, they come from Japan, they come from back east, they're not going to want to go to Washington, Colorado and get indoor bud from those places. They're going to want to come to California, where it all started and where it's all coming from and where all the best outdoor products are grown and made.
Are you writing into the legislation some plan to develop kind of an Emerald Disneyland or something?
That's what's happening. The ecotourism is going to take place. We have a policy board called the Mendocino Cannabis Policy Council up here. There's also CCB, which is California Cannabis Boys. There's CCIA, which is California Cannabis Industry Association. So all these groups, all these trade associations are coming up right now because they realize that this lobbying influence is going to become huge, and it's time for all the small farmers to get band together.
Nice. What about, for me, all the information that I've ever gotten down here in Santa Cruz comes through the local Granges, right? Are you involved with that movement?
Love the Grange. That's such a wonderful thing you brought up. I'm a member of the Laytonville Grange. I have a guy named Dan, I think Feldman, who runs the Grange and Live Oak. And the Granges are now, if you go back and look historically, the insurance agencies and companies kind of took them over at the turn of the century, and they kind of changed. But they are going to have a tremendous influence also. I think everybody should join their Grange, and they should all get back into the fact of small farmers. And these small farmers' markets are where you get the best food for your family, where you're going to get the best cannabis. And we all want to take care of our families and our friends.
And so what do you think are the most important things for voters to pay attention to so that we choose wisely and support the right side?
Well, I think the previous election where Richard Lee brought that forward, that was really planted towards indoor and counties having influence. Now they realize that, like every other agricultural concern, you're not going to see indoor lettuce or indoor tomatoes for the most part. It's all grown out in full sun. And so it's really important to get involved now so that we can influence that language coming in so that small farmers across this state really keep their farms and it doesn't get sold out to the big mega corporations who are basically waiting. They had a conference in Las Vegas last month, and people came back and were saying that, there are billion-dollar companies already lining up to get the piece of the pie that they think they deserve.
Can I ask you, what kind of big companies are interested? Tobacco companies, drug companies? Who are the...
Drug companies. Everybody. There's about 50 different vape pen companies that have come up. There's testing companies. There's soil companies. I mean, the ancillary markets in cannabis are endless. And so there are people looking at it from every aspect. And then there are people that are from outside that with just money. They're saying that in the next 5 years, the hottest growth stocks and businesses are going to be cannabis-related.
Hmm.
So that's where it's going to go. So, it's going to be a burgeoning industry. There's a lot of room for people to come in. But there's a lot of people that have been here for a long time. And my main concern really is that a lot of the CBD and the medicinal aspects, and you've got so many people who spent a lot of time, and now they're proving it with research that it's healing almost every known, all the way down to Lyme's disease and Crohn's and just about everything. And so I want to see those people be able to hold on to their businesses and not lose them to pharmaceutical companies that really don't have the personal interest for the individual.
Yeah, so California is in a good place to make sure we have proper legislation for that. So good. Well, if you want to know more about that, you'll have panelists at the Emerald Cup that will be talking about this, I assume.
Oh, yeah, we have panels on all the latest medical, science, legal. We used to be basically an all-night party and celebration, and now they call us an educational forum.
I can see why. There's a lot to be educated. And we got a caller on the line. Could you like to speak to a caller for a sec?
Sure.
Billy Sunshine is calling back.
All right,
hello,
Billy.
Hello, Billy.
California law enforcement continues to destroy the California asset that is confiscated marijuana. Perhaps you and the people at your meeting can take on that subject. We're throwing away hundreds of millions of dollars every year here.
Hmm.
Absolutely, and I agree with that, and I think that's got to stop, and that's one of the reasons why we're putting an initiative forward in Mendocino is to stop the asset forfeitures, to stop the Child Protective Services from taking children before there's due process, and to stop the indiscriminate destruction of cannabis. This doesn't need to be done. So I agree with that. It's a very good point. That will be dealt with. In fact, it's all going to change because it's going to become legal here within the next 2 years anyway, and then that's going to all end. It's an end of an era for law enforcement and the way they're doing it. They're going to finally have to start doing real work and go after all the speed and the crank and the heroin and stuff, the real issues out there.
Mm. We shouldn't have to wait for legalization, though, to stop the destruction of the cannabis that's seized every day here in California. That should happen immediately. We have it as a medical issue, and therefore it's an asset and should not be destroyed.
Yeah, and
we don't take
right.
the cars of the dealers and destroy them. We, the cops buy
right.
them on the cheap.
Yeah.
And they're still okay. going into small farmers and taking their crops, people that have serious health issues that have legal rights to it. There's been a good old boy network amongst the law enforcement in many of these counties who have been basically taking assets and destroying crops and in many cases taking the crops and selling them themselves. And so that old network of people that have gotten used to a big payday is coming to a quick end. And the gentleman there is very right. It's time to end all that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, there's big paradigm shifts in this whole arena.
Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Yeah, interesting. How the law enforcement relationship is going to change. I guess they just have to shift their priorities.
The whole thing, law enforcement really needs to return to the heart of the community. I mean, people need to police their own communities, and the police need to be supporting those efforts. If you turn it into like an occupation force and a bunch of unwilling participants, it's no longer America. America is we the people. We're making it happen. Police are an expression of the need to, you know, have good, trustworthy people on the side of making sure criminals aren't taking over. It really is important that we remember that our communities and our police forces are the same. They're not opposed to each other.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up with the CHP being, the coolest people around and everybody really helping people. And I have uncles and nephews and family that are law enforcement. My brother-in-law is captain of Watsonville PD, and he's a good cop. And I tell everybody in these mountains, when they put down the cops, I say, who's the first person you call if you're getting robbed? It's not your neighbor, it's the cops. So the growers have to realize that the cops aren't all bad, and there's a place to come to the middle on them. And the cops have to realize the growers, which they do now, are the least of their problems, because no cannabis people have ever shot a cop or gone after anybody. And we need to get back that community synergy together, realizing you're
all living. Well, are the cops willing to come on panels?
Oh, we have had police on panels. I had at Area 101 7 years ago, we invited the sheriff candidates to my place, and we had a debate because the cannabis vote in Mendocino was going to win the day, and they all came up there, and we had a series of debates, and we had a runoff between the two sheriffs, and we actually got our sheriff, Tom Allman, elected, who's still the standing sheriff.
Hey, that's a great example. Wow. Cool. Listen, we got to go right now, but if people want to know more, what's the best website to go to?
BeerMoCup.com. You can find all the information about the show. You can go on Facebook and find us. We have Slightly Stupid, Oz Motley, and Knockout Medicine for the People. Great music, lots of panels, wonderful party. It's going to be dry after the heavy rain, and so we're going to be blessed with another great weekend.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Thanks, Tim Baker.
Thanks so much, Tim.
All right, this is the Dr. Future Show on KSEO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, San Jose, Monterey, and wherever you are. We'll be back after the break and the news and the weather and the traffic with Dave Michaels.